WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your man, Al Martin, and we've got a hot show in store for all of you out there. Hey, it's Thursday, October 13th, 2016. Can you believe the weekend is just a day away? My oh my, time flies when you're having fun, and we have been having a ton of fun throughout this week here on Current Sports. On today's show, though, we will keep it pushing with an interview by the one, the only Susie Merchant, folks. That's right, head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. Can't believe the basketball season is literally a few weeks away. You will also get to hear from one of the stars of the Michigan State women's basketball program in the last 3 years. She was an absolute stud, one of the best players I've ever covered, Ariel Powers, who's now balling out in the WNBA. She actually made the WNBA all-rookie team and got a chance to steal a bit of her time because she was actually in East Lansing attending practice with Susie and her troops. So you get to hear from Coach Merchant and Ariel Powers. We'll also have Throwback Thursday on tap for you. And we will dive into the continuing chatter surrounded around Michigan State football offensive coordinator Dave Warner and his head-scratching play calling. Warner admits his role in the breakdowns, and we will dissect what that means as Michigan State tries to snap this three-game losing streak and try to put the wheels back on track against Northwestern this upcoming Saturday, homecoming weekend. All of that and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But hey, you know how we start this party. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, folks, we start with Mr. Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Izzo, if you remember, was just inducted into the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago. Today, he earned another honor. Get this. Coach Iz has received the Dean Smith Award, which is given annually to someone in college basketball who represents the spirit and values of the late North Carolina coach. The award was established last year, and Georgetown coach John Thompson won it. Izzo is entering his 22nd season with the Spartans. Midnight Madness is this Friday, and preseason play begins 2 weeks from today on October 27th against Northwood. Congratulations to Coach Izzo. The accolades continue to rain in. All right, the number 14 Michigan State women's volleyball team, I should say, lost in straight sets to number 24 Illinois last night in Champaign. MSU dropped the first set 25-21, the second 32-30, and the third 25-19. Michigan State was plagued by errors, committing, get this, 22 throughout the match, the second highest total for the Spartans in Big Ten play. The Illini also hit over 30% in the match. That is only the fourth time an opponent has been able to do so this season against Michigan State. The Spartans' record is now 15-4, 4-3 in the Big Ten Conference play. The team returns to EL on Saturday to face number 3 Minnesota at Jennison Fieldhouse at 8 p.m. The Michigan State women's soccer team is back at DeMartin Stadium for their final 3 home games of the year. The Spartans take on the number 15th ranked Minnesota Golden Gophers today at 4 p.m., Wisconsin on Sunday at 1 p.m., and defending national champ, current number 16, Penn State, next Saturday at noon. Michigan State is currently looking to break a 3-game losing streak. The team is now 5-8-1 on the year, 2-5-0 in Big Ten play. Coming into the match today, Minnesota is riding a 2-game win streak with back-to-back 3-0 wins. Again, today's game kicks off at 4 p.m. at DeMartin Stadium. So if you're doing nothing, if it's your off day after Current Sports, head down to MSU's campus to check out some MSU women's soccer. All right, the Detroit Red Wings begin the season tonight against the Tampa Bay Lightning. The game will start at 7:30 p.m. at the Amalie Arena in Tampa and will be televised on Fox Sports Detroit. The Wings are very familiar with the Lightning over the past couple of seasons and have had little success, I should say. Now, the Lightning have eliminated the Wings once from the playoffs in the past 2 years. In the past 11 games against the Lightning, the Wings are 3-8-0 overall and 0-6 on the road at Tampa. Head coach Jeff Blashill said newcomers Thomas Vanek and Frank Nielsen have adopted well. Vanek will play on a line with Darren Helm and Gustav Nyquist, where Nielsen will center a line with Henrik Zetterberg and Tomas Tatar. All right, newly signed running back Justin Forsett has some history with the Lions. On Thanksgiving back in 2012, Forsett had a controversial 81-yard touchdown run that ultimately helped the Houston Texans win that game. Jim Schwartz, the Lions head coach at the time, illegally tried to challenge the call on the field. So the play ended up resulting in a touchdown and also a 15-yard penalty. Now, as a Lion himself, Forsett admitted that his knee did hit the ground before he finished the run. Yeah, Stevie Wonder could see that one, folks. Forsett said that he's now ready to help his new team win. More on that story later on. Colin Kaepernick and the San Francisco 49ers have agreed to a restructuring of the quarterback's contract. Cap's new deal will allow him to become a free agent after this year. Both sides have agreed to eliminate the final 4 years of his contract, which then turns it into a two-year deal with a player option for the second.
Down and four. Kaepernick keeps it. Fooled everybody. Colin Kaepernick, what a game! Touchdown!
Now, if Cap decides to stay, he will have a salary of $16.5 million. This reworked contract allows the Niners more flexibility for the future and also allows Cap the ability to leave San Fran after the season. All right, it's like Christmas for me, folks. You guys know I'm the biggest Detroit Pistons fan out there. Andre Drummond and the Pistons travel to Phillips Arena in Atlanta tonight to take on Dwight Howard and the Hawks for the Pistons' third preseason game. The Pistons are 0-2 in preseason play so far, while the Hawks sit at 2-1, including a win over the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. Ish Smith, love that first name, will continue to man the point guard position and look to get the offense going for the Pistons, as Reggie Jackson is still out as he recovers from a knee injury. Tip-off slated for 7:30 p.m. tonight. And last but certainly not least, the notorious Conor McGregor was fined $150,000 in 50 hours of community service early this week by the Nevada State Athletic Commission for his actions at UFC's 202's pre-fight presser on August 20th of this year. Now, if you weren't tuned into that press conference, McGregor and then opponent Nate Diaz, they went back and forth, exchanged some words. Conor proceeded to grab any water bottle he could find and throw it at Diaz. Now, UFC President Dana White came on The Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports yesterday and talked about the fine.
I'm not thrilled about it when it happened, and, you know, we did the best we could to contain it at the time. But throwing,
wasn't the end of the world.
Here's the other problem. The other problem with that is Conor McGregor, you know, hit me yesterday and said, I don't ever want to fight in Nevada again, ever. Now, how does that make sense for the state of Nevada?
Oh, boy, drama. Thy name is UFC. What's wrong with throwing water bottles? I do that all the time with Isaac Constance, all right?
Yeah, thank God there's the glass between us.
All right, it was also announced yesterday that Ronda Rousey will return after more than a year off in December to face Amanda Nunes for her bantamweight belt at UFC 207. But that will only make the state of Nevada a portion of what McGregor can bring in. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also go to facebook.com/currentsports. Or you can even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Without further ado, start the show.
Get started.
You don't need to challenge a touchdown. All plays have to be verified. But Schwartz emptied out the pocket. It doesn't matter. You can't challenge a touchdown. They get reviewed anyway. Is there any way he's down? Elbow, forearm, he's going to be down.
Yes, he is down. Now the question is, will they mark off a penalty on Jim Schwartz
for throwing the challenge flag?
The result of the play is a touchdown. The play is not reviewable by Detroit. It will be a 15-yard penalty on the kickoff. The play is not reviewable. Touchdown.
81 yards.
Yes, it's always a party here each and every weekday afternoon on WKAR AM 870. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Oh boy, how can you forget about that moment, right? Yeah, 2012, Thanksgiving. I remember watching turkey, you know, eating turkey. No, you can't watch. Well, yeah, I guess you can watch turkey.
You can.
Want to.
Not too fun.
I remember eating turkey, Isaac, and watching Justin Forsett. You know, everybody saw that he was clearly down during that run. This is when Forsett was, of course, a member of the NFL's Houston Texans. He clearly goes down, knee hits the turf. The Detroit Lions defense totally stopped playing. Forsett doesn't. Turns on the Jets, goes up the field for what the refs deem as a touchdown, but everybody, excluding the refs, can clearly see it wasn't, all right? Jim Schwartz loses his mind. Of course, Jim Schwartz, then head coach of the Lions at the time, throws a challenge flag. Can't do that because every touchdown automatically gets reviewed anyway. So that's a penalty. The referees decide to give the touchdown to Forsett for some unforeseen reason. I don't understand it at all. And you immediately hear the Detroit Lions fans just lose their respective minds. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that Forsett, up until this moment right now, now that he is an official member of the Honolulu Blue in Detroit, I'm pretty sure that up until now, Forsett, you know, and if he wasn't a Lion, he was going to take that to his grave, that he was not down and that it was a touchdown. But he has come out now, since he's a member of the organization, and said that, hey, I was definitely down. Yeah, Forsett acknowledged that his knee hit the ground before. And, you know, he had some fun with it, though, because he was asked about it. And at first, he had some moment of what? That really happened? He said, quote, "What are you talking about? I don't understand what you're referring to." now, Forsett's touchdown, of course, helped the Houston Texans beat the Lions that year. And again, the entire Lions defense just hit pause. And, you know, it goes to the house now. But it's an interesting situation now, you know. Fun moment there. But now you look at the Detroit Lions team. And first off, you know, this is the first time we've gotten a chance to really dive into what occurred on Sunday with the Detroit Lions, as they picked up just no one saw that win coming for the Lions. At home against the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that at the time entered that matchup number one in the NFC East Division. I mean, no one saw the Lions snapping a three-game losing streak to Carson Wentz, who has been so good as a rookie in the NFL. But no one saw the Lions pulling out that dub. You know, I do my ESPN Pigskin Pick'em. You know, I'm a part of like three groups, and I do it every Thursday, because that's when the games start officially each and every week. And just to have some fun with it, I actually chose the Lions to win that game, and riddle me that. They won it. It kind of reminds me of my rant on yesterday's show. I was just having some fun on my Snapchat saying, hey, the Chicago Cubs are going to come back and win this game. And they did it. I don't know. It must be my week, folks. I don't know, folks. I may have to call up Vegas after the show today, right? But, you know, no one expected the Philadelphia Eagles to go down to the Detroit Lions. But it happened. And, you know, this season could really become interesting now, I must say. Now, when you look at that game on Sunday, one man stood out among the rest on the Detroit Lions squad. And, of course, that was Darius Slay Jr. We have been waiting for Darius Slay to live up to that four-year, $51 million extension that he received in July. We've been waiting on Slay to step up all year. And, finally, he showed up in a major way. A major way. Without Darius Slay, the Lions would have lost that game. I mean, we can go back to the forced fumble on Ryan Matthews. Just under 3 minutes left to play. He got his helmet on the ball. The ball pops out. The Lions recover. And that's when Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions offense was able to get back on the gridiron and lead. He led the team down the field. Stafford led the team down the field. Put Matt Prater in perfect position to kick a field goal. The go-ahead field goal ended up being the game winner, okay? And how about Wentz deciding to test Mr. Slay? And he decided to air it down the field, right side of the field, near the sideline. And Darius Slay just making a remarkable adjustment. I mean, do you know how hard that interception was? You know, and I've always gone down. I mean, I had this argument with my frat brothers this past summer about Darius Slay Jr. And I really believe that Darius Slay Jr., I mean, you can make a case that he was the best corner in football last year. I mean, the kid is amazing, an amazing player. But do you know how difficult that last interception was? To not make contact with the receiver, to keep his eyes on a long ball like that, to adjust in the air as the ball is coming near the play, and he just snagged it right out the air. You would have thought Darius Slay was the targeted receiver on that throw from Wentz. I mean, unbelievable. Unbelievable adjustment, unbelievable job. And again, you all know how the NFL is today. I mean, if you breathe on somebody, it's a flag today. And Slay was able to stay stride by stride with the receiver, locate the football, snag it, game over. Put the babies to bed. So impressive. So impressive. And what's even more impressive, when you look at the defense as a whole for the Lions, I mean, my goodness. I mean, Carson Wentz didn't have an interception coming into that game, folks. Unbelievable stuff. Really remarkable. And when you look at the Detroit Lions offense going against that Philadelphia Eagles defense, I mean, that's an Eagles defense that, you know, had not allowed a passing touchdown all year. I mean, and you see what Matthew Stafford was able to do. Now, again, I don't want to go through it. Don't throw a party right now, okay? It's the NFL. It's all about matchups, and hey, sometimes teams just don't have it during a certain Sunday, okay? So let's not go throw a party here. But at the same time, this is a Lions team that got a big win, a much-needed win against the Eagles to stop the bleeding, at least for now. Now they have to go play an LA Rams team that's pretty interesting, folks. And the reason why I say that is, you know, this is an LA Rams team that has surprised many, I must say. And an LA Rams team with a lot of conversation surrounded around the squad. I mean, the Rams are 3-2 right now. They're second in the NFC West. They're coming off a loss to the Buffalo Bills. And my goodness, the Bills have come out of nowhere this year, right? And prior to that loss against the Bills this past weekend, I mean, the Rams had beaten the Seattle Seahawks in a low scoring, you know, talk about putting the babies to bed. I mean, you definitely wanted to go to bed watching that game. I mean, just put you to sleep. A 9-3 win. A win is a win, though. A 9-3 win over Seattle. Then in week three, they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. A 37-32 win over Tampa Bay. Then they beat the Arizona Cardinals on the road. Both the Buccaneers and the Cardinals wins were on the road. Heck, actually, you know, I mean, when you look at the season, I mean, this is a formidable schedule so far for the Rams. I guess they're breaking the Hard Knocks curse. I mean, you know, every team that's featured on HBO's Hard Knocks, there's this thing that goes, there's this, I guess you can say, aura that goes around that, okay, after you have been a part of that show, you do not have a great season. But, I mean, they're dispelling that right now, at least. But this is an L.A. Rams team that's had an interesting year so far. And an L.A. Rams team, that has fans surrounded around the organization that aren't too happy. And the reason fans of the L.A. Rams aren't happy is because they haven't seen their rookie quarterback yet. Yeah, we have not seen Jared Goff on the football field just yet. Case Keenum, who we all knew was going to be the starter going into this year. We all knew that that Case was the guy. I mean, you could see it. I mean, even in those brief episodes that I watched on HBO, I mean, Case Keenum, he knows the playbook very well. He's got a solid arm. He's more seasoned. I mean, that's what you expect from a guy as opposed to another guy who's a rookie coming into the league. Again, highly touted rookie at that. You know, they saw flashes throughout training camp that would allude to him being the guy later on down the road. But it's not an easy transition going from playing quarterback in college to playing quarterback in the NFL. I mean, talk about the playbook. I mean, the playbook is extensive, way more extensive than the college football playbook. But the reason why, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that, in their defense, I can see sort of why. You know, Case Keenum, you know, this is a guy who has hardly lit up the stat sheet. He's thrown more interceptions than touchdowns. He's thrown 5 interceptions, 4 touchdowns on the year. The Rams at 3-2, so they have a winning record, but the Rams have, get this, the NFL's last ranked offense. All right? But Coach Jeff Fisher is still sticking to his guns. He still is saying that Case Keenum is our guy. Fisher said this week, quote, "I'm going to play him when he's ready," referring to, of course, Jared Goff. "Right now, Case is familiar with the offense, and Jared is getting better. Time will tell," end quote. Interesting. Because you look at the record and say, yeah, even though we have the NFL's, and that's mind-boggling, right? I mean, you have the NFL's last-ranked offense, but yet you've been able to pull off some pretty impressive wins over the Seattle Seahawks, over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Arizona Cardinals. That's shocking to me. But if that offense doesn't pick up, if that offense doesn't start gaining more yardage, if Case Keenum continues to throw more interceptions and touchdowns, I get where the fans are coming from. Throw Jared Goff out there. See what the man can do. Because right now, it looks like the LA Rams defense has been keeping you in games. So this is a hard game to call for me, Isaac. Because, you know, on one hand, you look at what the Lions were able to do against the Eagles, and there were a lot of positives. I mean, you know, Matthew Stafford didn't light up the stat sheet either on Sunday, you know. But at the same time, that Detroit Lions defense was fantastic. It kept the Lions in the game. Heck, it gave Matthew Stafford the ball to get them in field goal position to bring out Matt Prater for the game-winning field goal. But there's still question marks around this Detroit Lions team, as is the LA Rams. So I don't know. This is the ideal definition of a catch-22 for me.
Well, and I've got to say, I actually, in some ways, disagree about the role that they hoped Goff would play heading into this season. They drafted him number 1 overall. They put their heart out on the line to get the Cali kid, hometown boy, come in, make a difference at the quarterback position, and Case Keenum started. And Case Keenum, they didn't expect anything amazing. He hasn't been anything amazing. His best game, I think, did come last week. And Case Keenum, he's grown as the season progressed. Against Buffalo, he was 21 of 31, decent stat line. Or actually, week before that, excuse me, against Arizona was when he was 18 of 30 with 2 touchdowns. Against Buffalo, he struggled. He had 2 interceptions. So this has hardly been a guy to stave off the pressure. It's just he's not getting that much pressure from Jared Goff. Goff came in much more raw than I think they anticipated and I anticipated. I said that Goff was the best quarterback prospect I've seen since Andrew Luck. When you compare his leadership skills and his ability to bounce back from interceptions.
Did you get a chance to check out HBO's Hard Knocks with the LA Rams?
I did not. You know that's your show more than mine.
Oh, I love it. Well, and it really gave you an insight, though, into the transition period that Jared Goff is going through right now. You could see on certain plays, I mean, you know, they would go through practice and Case would be there, you know, blue 42, X right to the left, you know, whatever they would call. And he'd go in, execute it to the T. Yep. Jared would get in there, call the same thing, but forget one word, like, you know, to the right or something like that. Yeah. And then all of a sudden the entire offense is off a ride. I don't think a lot of people understand how tough it is to make that transition. I understand, though, because when you look at it, you made a big move in drafting him number one overall.
Especially when you look at what Carson Wentz has done in Philadelphia and just been laying it up.
That was my next point.
Interception by Slay.
Right.
Was his first of the season.
Exactly.
It was incredible watching this guy play and play and play. And Dak Prescott, only last game, I think surpassed him for that rookie record of most games played without an interception thrown. Mm-hmm. Of course, the two doing it in the exact same season. That's pretty cool right there.
Right.
But Jared Goff, I have to commend Jeff Fisher for his handling of the situation. Because I think it would have been easy to say, you know what, we draft this guy number one overall. I hear the fans. They're right at my heels. They're howling for Jared Goff to come in. But this kid isn't ready yet. It would have been so easy to thrust him into the fire when he was totally unprepared for the starting quarterback position and let this kid be eaten by the dogs, essentially, mm-hmm. because he just does not seem ready for the starting quarterback position. Him not being right now does not equate to him not having the potential that they saw when they made this number one overall draft pick. I respect Jeff Fisher for saying Case Keenum, he might not be our quarterback of the future. He's not Jared Goff, but he's our quarterback right now because it's something that Jared Goff can learn under. He needs a few years just adjusting to the grind of the NFL. I think Jeff Fisher, who is a polarizing coach in more ways than just this one, has done a great job with the situation.
You know what this kind of reminds me of, Isaac?
It reminds me of something right up the road.
Right up the street at Spartan Stadium. What's going on with this whole quarterback situation when it comes to Tyler O'Connor? See how I planned this? I set up late last night planning how I would segue this. But Tyler O'Connor and the whole Damian Terry / Brian Lewerke situation. When you are being pressured by a respective fan base, you know, it's something when you look at the bigger picture here. When you are being pressured by a respective fan base who's not sitting there with you every single practice, evaluating these quarterbacks firsthand, day in and day out, it's easy to sit back, look at an offense, what you see on a Saturday or a Sunday, and to say, you know what? The backup needs to be in because he's the right man for the job. It is so easy for fans to sit back on this high horse and criticize the team down below and to say, you know what, a change needs to happen and it needs to happen right now. So, and I agree with you, I commend Jeff Fisher for blocking out the noise and doing what he feels best because at the end of the day, he is the head football coach of the Los Angeles Rams. And on the flip side, to equate this to Michigan State now because this is a direct segue right into it, do you commend Mark D'Antonio for taking out Tyler O'Connor and throwing in Damian Terry against BYU? Or should he have stuck to his guns? Because I'm one of those guys who, in my opinion, he should have went the Jeff Fisher route and said, you know what? Tyler is my guy, especially when there was no reason to take him out the game. So you got two different situations here, two different sports on two different levels, I should say. What do you think when making that comparison?
First off, I just got to say, I feel like a rich tourist in a city who's got some money to spend, wants to wear a helmet and move at the same pace as walking, but on something which makes you levitate. because I feel like I just went on a Segway tour. That was a beautiful transition. Now I've just got to applaud that. I've never heard a better one.
I stood up lately. I got it written down here. I'm like, you know what? I'm about to segue this perfectly to the MSU football team. And it just kind of happened last night. So, hey, every once in a while I get lucky. So
to answer your question, though, I'll stick with my guns, too. I said when it happened, I tweeted during the game. I said it on the Friday show before the BYU game. Don't do anything drastic. Don't panic. And I thought putting in Damian Terry was a panic move. I don't think it's bad if it happens later in the season, if you're still not producing. But we're talking about a team that's 5 games in. No, I commend Mark D'Antonio. I laud him for every single thing that he has done for this program. His intention, his loyalty has never been questioned. But for this single decision, I think he made the wrong one. And I think it's actually going to be safe to say that as the season might progress. Like I said, just putting in Terry in that situation. He said, I'm not trying to create a quarterback controversy. Ding, ding, ding. He knows he created a quarterback controversy by this. Even if Terry starts, there's a reason why Tyler O'Connor was elected captain. Mm. His teammates are mainly with him. But let's say Tyler O'Connor starts. Now some people say, well, Tyler O'Connor couldn't have led that fourth quarter drive down the field and snuck it in from the 1 yard line. Mm. You've got the controversy. So no.
Yeah, you do.
I do think it was the wrong choice.
I agree with you. And you know what? And that's why I had to ask Dave Warner. And you know, again, it's sports talk radio, and I'm just giving my opinion on what I perceived Dave's answer to be when I asked him, and you were there, Isaac, when I asked him, just to be sure, was it your decision or was it Mark D'Antonio's decision? Did you really want to take Tyler O'Connor out of that game, or was it solely Coach D's decision? Of course, and if you go back and look at the footage, I went back and look at the footage, he pauses for 1 second and says, well, it's a team decision. You know, it was a collective decision, which he has to say, right? You got to, everybody, if he said, well, I wanted Tyler in and Mark D'Antonio didn't, it looks bad for the program because it makes it look like you guys aren't on the same page. So he had to come out and say that, yeah, you know, it was a collective decision. We all decided to take Tyler O'Connor out and throw in Damian Terry. But I don't know if Dave really wanted to take Tyler O'Connor out of that game. Now, there's an article in the Lansing State Journal today written by our good friend Chris Solari that talks about, well, his headline is MSU's Dave Warner acknowledges role in offensive breakdowns. And, you know, Warner is being, I like how Chris put this in the article, quote, and Warner is being blamed as much as, if not more, than quarterback Tyler O'Connor. Then he goes into this quote. This is coming from the post-game press conference with Dave Warner. Quote, I think you go back and you dissect it over the last 3 weeks, and it's truly a breakdown there, a breakdown here. So he's not denying that there's been instances throughout this year where he hasn't been up to par when it comes to his play calling. I like how Dave is accepting responsibility here. And I made this point earlier this week as well. I love the loyalty that Mark D'Antonio shows to his coaching staff. But at the same time, I wonder just how short that leash becomes, because you want to be loyal, but you also want to see results at the end of the day. And Dave Warner's track record speaks for itself. I mean, this is a team that last year played in the college football playoff, for goodness sake. When do you draw that line that says, okay, we need to make a change here because it's not getting it done? That's my question to our listeners out there. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will bring you a one-on-one interview with Michigan State women's basketball coach Susie Merchant, as well as former Michigan State women's basketball star Ariel Powers, who actually made the WNBA's all-rookie team after her rookie campaign. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And hey, folks, are you ready to make a difference? Do you like being first? Jumpstart the WKAR Radio Fall Fundraiser, which starts, get this, tomorrow with your donation today. When you give here on WKAR.org, you're supporting music and news and sports that make a difference. Plus, when you give now to WKAR Radio by 7 p.m. today, you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win a night stay at Firekeepers Casino and Hotel in Battle Creek. Now, get this. Firekeepers offers 2,900 of the latest slot and video poker games, live hand-dealt poker, 81 table games, a 500-seat live bingo room, and an exclusive high-limit area. Money to gamble, of course, is not including in this offer. Now, it's a value of $250, courtesy of Firekeepers Casino and Hotel, proud supporter of quality public radio for Mid-Michigan. Your gift will get things off to a great start, supporting another year of music, news, and sports that you can only get from WKAR. Give now to WKAR Radio. Again, deadline 7 p.m. this evening. Also want to note, Isaac, a pretty big weekend for both you and I. Tomorrow, we will actually be stationed at the MSU Auditorium. This is the first time that the MSU Homecoming Parade Committee is doing this, where there's going to be two stations with two individuals emceeing the MSU Homecoming Parade. And Ryan Schuling of the Team 92.1, along with Sherry Jones of WLNS TV6, myself and yourself, we will be stationed, we will be in front of the auditorium. I believe that Sherry and Ryan will be stationed near the MSU Union.
Yes, I believe. Close to Grand River Avenue.
Exactly.
It's definitely on Grand River Avenue.
Right, exactly. That's where the parade will be. So I encourage you all to come out and say hello to us there. We'll be, you know, and we, I looked at our script packet last night. We had a meeting earlier this week with the MSU Homecoming Parade Committee, and the packet is pretty extensive. There are a lot of groups that will be participating, including WKAR. Our station will be out there walking around. You know, every single year we have a few of our employees dressed up as Super Y. I remember one year Jason Vlahos of WKTV, he dressed up as Robin from Batman and Robin. I mean, we have Clifford the Big Red Dog one year. So, hey, it's always a fun time. I can't wait to announce as WKAR comes through. And also my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, they'll be walking in the parade as well. So just an exciting time. So we encourage you all to come say hello again. Isaac and myself, we will be stationed in front of the MSU Auditorium tomorrow evening, and it's going to be a great time. All right, folks? Also, it's going to be a busy day for me, Isaac, because right after I get done emceeing that, I will be heading over to the Breslin Center to MC for the second straight year. It's totally an honor that they called me back for the second straight year, Midnight Madness. So I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Well, and I think you and Tom Izzo should look into sharing a cab together because, of course, Tom Izzo is going to be the homecoming king of this year.
Yeah.
And it'll just be a great night and great time for everybody involved. And, yeah, how much can you say about it? I've got to be honest, though. I am a little bit jealous that you marched in the parade. I think this was my first year on campus before I was very involved with WKAR. And you got the sweetest current sports jacket.
Yeah.
It is so nice. It's that a quarter zip with the emblem right on the left shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
It's sweet.
Pretty nice. I'm going to have to let you borrow it one of these days. I actually have in my in my closet still. And the reason I haven't worn it a lot, though, because you know what? That fleece was actually a mistake because it says current sports on the front. But if you look at the back of it, it says current state.
Really?
It was supposed to say current sports on the back. So I remember talking with Bill Richards. He said, oh, yeah, we're gonna get you all new ones because that was a huge mistake. So it looks kind of funny because you got current sport. It's like double advertising for both, which is good, though. I mean, you're promoting both shows.
It is.
So, but, yeah, I'll let you borrow it one of these days. All right, my man?
Thank you, yeah.
All right, making the transition now. Let's talk some MSU women's hoops, all right? I got the chance the other day to chat with Susie Merchant, who is the head coach of the Michigan State women's basketball team. This is going to be a year. It's going to be a very interesting one because this is a year where Michigan State does not have its star player in Ariel Powers, because we all know that Ariel Powers decided to leave college a year early
and head to the WNBA. She played for the Dallas Wings, where she was an absolute stud. She actually made the WNBA all-rookie team. Impressive stuff, right? So you'll hear Ariel Powers later on in this hour. But I want to start with Susie Merchant, because now in the absence of Ariel Powers, you have to look at this team and say, okay, who's going to step up now? There's a few names that come to mind, specifically the two returning starters for this team in Tori Jankowska as well as Brandi Agee. This was an interesting summer for the team as well, because they got a chance to build chemistry. Again, when you only have two returning starters, you're going to have a lot of new faces and a lot of players forced into new and different roles. So what better way to do that than to take a trip to Europe? So I started our interview with Susie Merchant by asking her what that trip to Europe was like and what did they learn during that process.
You know what I did? I loved a couple of things. I loved Normandy. I thought that was a very powerful thing. You know, my grandfather fought over there, and so, you know, to really listen to some of the stories and see some of the artifacts and to be at the American Cemetery over there was pretty overwhelming and powerful for the people who fought for our country. And the other thing, as silly as it sounds, we were on a river cruise on the River Seine right out in front of the Eiffel Tower. And just, you see all these people sitting along the river, you know, just hanging out, drinking wine, talking. There was like people salsa dancing. I'm like, man, there's another life out here and I'm not in it, but I really liked it.
Right, exactly. Now you return two starters this upcoming year, Agee and I believe Jankowska, right? To have a team that sort of quote unquote lacks that experience coming to this season, I mean, what's that challenge like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would throw in Jenna as a starter because she was our sixth man and played a lot of minutes. I mean, I think she really down the stretch was big for us. But you're right. I mean, there's not a lot there. Morgan was kind of in and out of the starting lineup. So we have some kids that have some experience for sure. But you're right. There's not as much as we had a year ago when you had basically all five starters back. So, you know, we have some work to do. And it's going to put put the onus a little bit on Brandi and Tori to sort of step up and be consistent all the time. And I think they're ready for that challenge.
Now, I saw Brandi at the Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am, and I just happened to look over in the stands, and she had a boot on. Yeah. What's the update on that? Is she all right?
Yeah, she was out, like, most of that summer. She had a little bit of foot surgery, but she's fine. She's back 100% playing right now. I mean, I don't know if her game's 100% yet, but she's back full bore. So we just took the precaution in the summer to kind of get her off the load of her foot. She was having issues, and she's... You know, she's had a couple ACLs, she's had a pin in her foot before, so especially with her, you need to kind of, you know, really take your time, because she's an overcompensator, right? So, like, if something's bothering her, she'll just put more pressure on the other leg, which is never a recipe for success. It's always bad right. Things happen, so we just want to take our time, but she's really looking good.
For Tori, it seems like Tori has been getting better every single year. What's her ceiling this upcoming season? Have we seen it?
I don't think so. I mean, that kid has always, to me, you know, been that competitor and that tough kid that you really need to see on the basketball court. Does a lot of things that go unnoticed, you know, but I think she's really embraced this offseason, some of the expectations that she put on herself, you know, like she's in a really good place. And I think last year sometimes she was a little up and down, and I think some things went on this summer that really made her focus on what's important to her, and to really play with that sort of, I don't know, self-confidence that she needs all the time. And she's put a lot of time in the gym. You know, confidence comes from preparation, and that kid is as prepared as anybody on our team. So I'm excited to watch her.
Two more for you, Zeus. Who do you think is going to be a big surprise player that a lot of Spartan fans are really going to get to know her name this season?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, I think there's a few of them. I mean, certainly Taya's new, and I think they'll, you know, appreciate what she brings to the table. I think they'll be excited about Jenna, Hannah, and Kennedy. I mean, those kids have come along pretty well. And I think, you know, we'll be interesting, like, with Taryn at the point guard position, some with Morgan, so we'll have a little more depth there. Those are probably the kids. And then you got Nia and Dreek, you know, those two freshmen coming in. Dreek's hurt a little bit right now, but we'll get her back, hopefully. So, I mean, those kids are athletic and sort of extremely versatile. So those are the kids that I think will stand out the most.
And you guys know, of course, with Midnight Madness taking place on Friday night at the Breslin, it's always fun to watch what exactly head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, Tom Izzo, as well as Susie, what they are going to come out and address the crowd as, all right? I mean, we've seen many things. We've seen Coach Izzo get blown out of a cannon. We've seen Susie Merchant dress up as Beyonce. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So, of course, I had to ask Coach Merchant what exactly she has up her sleeve come Friday night.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even remember this being in my contract at any point when I signed it. So I'm not giving up the goods because I know that could cost me in the end. So okay, I'm just going to be mum's the word. But, you know, it always comes together. I do it because the fans love it. Not so much that I appreciate looking like that, acting crazy out there.
You're like Beyonce? Come on now. That was hot.
Yeah, well, you know, you can only be Beyonce once. So if we could do Beyonce every year, I'd be a big fan of Midnight Madness because every woman should be that once in their life. So I'll take that. But for right now, we'll keep mum's the word.
How great is that, Isaac? If you had to guess what Susie's going to do this year, what would you say?
That's putting me on the spot. Boy, I'll get back to you after this phone
call.
Yeah,
hit the phone. I want to know, maybe it's somebody calling in that has a prediction as to what Susie Merchant will be this Friday night, as well as Coach Izzo. Coach Izzo, you know, funny story. When I hosted Midnight Madness last year, it was my first year doing it, and they actually told me what was going to happen with Tom Izzo before I even came to the Breslin that night. So I already knew that Tom Izzo was going to bring out Tom Cruise. What they didn't tell me was that it was going to be a Tom Cruise lookalike. So it was so funny because, you know, when Tom Cruise walked in, you know, at the Brez, I'm like the only one that's losing his mind on the stage floor while everybody else is kind of chill and they're kind of looking at me like, "Oh, why are you tripping out right now?" And I'm like, "Dude, that's Tom Cruise." And Tom didn't say anything. You know, as he went around, because it was so weird, Tom Cruise just kind of walked around the Breslin Center floor and just kind of, he waved at each section with a smile, didn't say anything on the mic. And I thought it was puzzling because, you know, if Tom Cruise comes, I mean, you would think he would get on the mic and say something, right? Well, then I got suspicious, and I said to myself, "Hold on, why didn't he address the crowd?" And Susie Merchant is standing right next to me, and Susie hits me, and she's like, "Al, that's not Tom Cruise. That's a lookalike." And then all of a sudden, Tom, you know, the lights come on, and then Tom Cruise, you know, comes near us, and you can clearly see that it was not Tom Cruise whatsoever, Isaac. But they fooled me so bad when he came out and addressed the crowd initially.
Well, the very first year that I saw it was Tom Cruise as a part, or not Tom Cruise, Tom Izzo as a part of Kiss. And I thought, oh my gosh, they brought Kiss in just for this? Of course, then 2 days later, all the rumors start flying. And I just figure out they tricked me. I mean, they got me.
Right.
Of course, it's not Kiss. It's not Tom Cruise. This year, I'm not getting got. But it wouldn't surprise me if this year they bring out an actual celebrity and everybody's just, "Oh, that's not him. That's not him." 2 days later, everybody finds out, "Oh, he was here?"
Yeah, you know, they're setting this up,
on
right?
On social media, yeah.
But what's the actor? Who's the lead actor in 300? Who's that? Who's that guy? Because I maybe our PAs know. Gosh, I know his name, too. It just escapes me right now. But when the movie 300 came out, it spoke directly to MSU because it's about the history of the Spartans, right?
Yeah, very much the Spartans' will cause. Gerald Butler.
Gerard Butler. He came in, and it was actually him. This is when I was in college. This was like my senior year of college. And I happened to be on the Breslin Center floor with the Big Ten Network student U. I was shooting this. And he came out, and he got on the mic, and he did, you know, "Spartans, what is your profession?" And everybody, you know, gave the three chant thing, you know what I mean? Everybody went nuts. So that was the only time I've actually seen an actual celebrity in the Brez for Midnight Madness.
That's
so
the thing, though. As long as they mix it in, sprinkle one real celebrity into the whole pot of fake ones, then you always will have that thought planted in your mind. This could be the guy, and you want to believe it so bad. So it's a good strategy by the MSU marketing staff. But Susie Merchant, I was trying to think. I have no idea. There's been such a slew of superhero movies recently.
Right.
If I had to guess, it would be something from that. But
right.
I couldn't even narrow it down. If you had to guess.
I don't know, man. I have no. She's done so much. The coolest one for me was watching her dress up as Beyonce.
Beyonce was just, the best. Yeah,
do her thing. So, yeah, that was pretty funny stuff. All right. You know, also, after I got done chatting with Susie, I looked around the Breslin practice floor, and who do I see? A woman who I had the pleasure of covering during her 3-year duration here as a basketball star for Susie's squad. The great Ariel Powers, who started 92 of her 94 games in her career, career averages of 18.9 points, 9.8 rebounds, 2 steals in 31.2 minutes, has 47 career double-doubles, became the first Spartan to earn first-team All-Big Ten honors as a freshman. Also, MSU's co-recipient of Player of the Year and Spartan Hustle Awards, also received the Best Rebounder Award at the team banquet in 2014, Player of the Year and Best Rebounder in 2015 and 2016. She decided to leave college a year early and head to the WNBA, which has been her dream since she picked up a basketball. She was drafted in the first round, number 5 pick overall, and had a pretty good rookie campaign, if you ask me. She was named to the WNBA's all-rookie team, folks. Wow. So, naturally, when having that spiel, especially about the WNBA, I had to ask Ariel, what in the world are you doing here in East Lansing?
Well, okay, so our season's over with, and I have some time just to kind of come back and see the girls and check them out. And I came to practice today. They look pretty good. I'm excited about the season for them.
For you, how do you think your first year went? Pretty good, I must say, because you made the all-rookie team, I saw.
Yeah, it was like it got better and better. To start the WNBA season, I think I was thinking too much. I wasn't playing more like my MSU self. And then towards the end of the season, you could see I started to catch the rhythm, was able to score a little bit easier, facilitate easier, and it's physical, way more physical.
Right.
And faster. It actually is faster, like when, especially when I first start playing, the speed of the game, and then I was thinking too much. It was a little fast for me. Then everything started to slow down. You know, towards the end of the season, I started making better reads.
Season right around the corner for MSU. What do you miss the most about playing at the Breads?
I think I'm gonna miss the fans. The fans and getting hype and them just cheering us on and like doing something crazy and like being able to, you know, I miss that. I miss them. I miss and I love them. So a lot of them still support me, so I'm happy about that.
So what for you is the off season like now? I mean, do you go overseas to play as well?
Yeah,
yeah,
so you usually go overseas, but I'm not going to go.
Okay, why is that?
For reasons I will not tell you.
Okay, that's fine. I had to ask a question. It's my
that's
job.
Okay.
All right, so moving forward now.
But you will know soon.
What's that?
You will know soon, yeah.
Okay.
It's not a big deal.
When it comes to this team this year, did you practice with them or just kind of sitting in on practice?
No, I just sat in and practiced and watched
what
them.
What do you think of it?
I think we have some good pieces, and a lot of them are actually freshmen. They still make some freshman mistakes, you know, but I think they'll be good, you know, once we get everything under wraps. I mean, it's only the second game of the season. I mean, the second day of practice, so.
Right. Do you think this team can really duplicate what you did when you were here? I mean, are there any players, especially when you and Tori, I mean, when you guys were on the court, it was so cool to watch you guys
talk
to each other.
Uh-huh.
What's her mindset coming into this season? I can
hers? I'm not sure. I haven't sat down and asked her that exactly. You know, I haven't been back for long, so I haven't had a chance to chat with her. But I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Yeah, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what Tori Jankowska can do. Because, you know, it was kind of a yin and yang, peanut butter and jelly type of relationship that both Powers and Jankowska shared when they were both on the hardwood, Isaac. If anything, I really think that this is Tori's year to really break out. Tori Jankowska is a very good basketball player, and she's put up great numbers throughout her entire career thus far. But, you know, as you heard from Susie Merchant, I really don't even think we've seen Tori's ceiling just yet.
Well, and that's the thing. We saw Rachel Banham, a one-woman show for Minnesota last year. I'm not saying that's the same extent that Tori Jankowska will reach.
No.
But at the same time, now with Ariel Powers off of the team and all of that, I do think that we can expect Tori to keep on taking this next step forward and be the primary scorer on this team. A lot more ISOs, a lot of pull-up threes, and that could actually be a very good thing for this team and her progression.
Very true. We'll see. All right. Basketball just around the corner, folks. I really can't believe it. Really can't believe it. The MSU women's basketball team will have their exhibition game against Northwood on November 6th in less than a month. Crazy stuff. All right. Final break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. We've got Ray from Indiana on the line. Ray, just wait. We'll get to you in just a second. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, with just 3 minutes left in the show. Let's go to line one right now. We've got our dear friend, Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
Skipper.
What's up, my man?
Hey, I am so, I love underdogs so much all my life. And I'm so proud of my Cleveland Indians. 68 years, one more round if they can get in the World Series, and the Chicago Cubs 110 years. I couldn't lose either way whoever won that World Series.
I'm telling you, Ray. I mean, it's been 108 years since the Chicago Cubs have won a World Series. It's a long time, since 1908. So I think everybody, you know, who isn't a Chicago White Sox fan is rooting for the Chicago Cubs.
What about the Indians? 68 years for the Indians.
Yeah, it's been a long time for Cleveland as well, but I mean, 107. I mean, that's a long, long time, Ray. For me personally, I'm rooting for the Cubbies.
Well, I'm an Indian fan, so I'm rooting for them. But it wouldn't break my heart as much if it was the Cubs.
Right. Exactly. No, I hear you. Well, what do you think wins tonight, though? I mean, you got the Nats and the Dodgers on the mound, and when you look at who's on the mound for the Washington Nationals, I mean, they had former Tiger Max Scherzer. I mean, who do you think pulls that one out?
I don't know, but you know what? The Yankees kind of give up on losing Miller and that other left-handed pitcher that throws 105 miles an hour. You know, if they would have kept those two players, it saved the Indians getting Miller and the other guy Chapman for the Cubs.
Right.
Just imagine if the Yankees would have kept those two guys, they might have won the World Series.
Yeah, and you talk about the Yankees. They are certainly in a period of transition right now. A young team. It's a weird time to be a New York Yankees fan right now, Ray.
Yeah, it is. Hey, where are you playing that Michigan State Northwestern game this week?
It's homecoming, so that will be a home game. That will be a 3:30 kickoff at Spartan
Stadium.
Where
do you play Michigan? Is that the 29th?
That is the 29th. That's right. Michigan has, I believe, a bye week this week, right,
yes,
Isaac?
Yeah,
and then
they
play Illinois, and then they will head on the road to play Michigan State for that October 29th game.
It's going to be tough. You guys have got it. Are you going to go back to your regular quarterback?
Who knows? Yeah, you're asking the wrong guys right here, Ray. Well, the only person who knows that is Mark D'Antonio as well as his coaching staff.
No idea.
I know
you've had a lot of injuries. Are some of those players going to be able to get back?
We don't know that either. You know Coach D does not talk about injuries at all either. Yeah, he hates that question, actually.
If you don't start stopping the run, Michigan's going to run all over you.
Yep, I hear you, Ray. Ray, thanks a lot for the call.
Bye-bye.
You got it. Yeah. It's going to be an interesting one, folks. We will, of course, on tomorrow's Current Sports, we will dissect that Michigan State and Northwestern game, and we'll have plenty more talk, of course, previewing the Detroit Lions and so much more, folks. But, hey, thank you so much for tuning in to this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Be easy, people.